I just had a weird moment. I was sitting there in the front row. I was watching that video, and then all of a sudden I realized that it was my job to get up here and teach. I literally had this like panicky moment. I was like, oh my gosh, I should be up there. Like, what am I doing? So I was glad that I got to look official and get all this stuff set while you guys were watching that. So thanks for humoring me. But anyway, my name is Mark. Welcome to Movement Church. Great to see everybody, and great to see all the people who brave the ice and the weather and all of that fun stuff. We had a crazy weekend. I feel like I shoveled the driveway like four times a day. So thank you for coming out today and putting up with the ice and all that. I love that bumper just because it teaches us that it's all about the presence, right? And as Sarah was talking about all the reasons that she loves Christmas, I was thinking the exact opposite of everything she said. So I'm just joking, Sarah. But I'm the guy, like, when I go into stores and it's like October 20th and like Home Depot and Lowe's and all the places like that start to put the trees out, I like feel guilty for being an American. Like, I'm like, should we be a part of this? Or, you know, like, there's nothing sacred or anything about like, oh, trees have to come out on this day. But I'm the guy, like, anytime before Thanksgiving, it feels like wrong. I feel like I'm cheating or something. Like, we should get in trouble for it. So I'm not like some purist that's going to attack you if you put your tree up. But I got to be honest, there are times I feel weird. Like when I know that sales are starting on Thanksgiving, I'm just like, is this allowed? Like, should we be, can this happen? You know, the fact that Black Friday is now like a 4-day weekend and everybody cares so much kind of freaks me out, to tell you the truth. So we're doing this series just to focus us, because obviously, you know, that growing up, we said that life was all about presence. And when we developed this graphic, I feel like we should have put under there parentheses, see what we did there, you know, to say that life is all about the presence. And then people are like, wait, which one is he talking about? I can't tell. So I'll try to say if it has a T in it or not all day as we say the word presence. But this morning we want to focus on the meaning of Christmas, on the presence of Jesus and the change that he made when he came to this world. And so we want to talk about just all of the different ways that our attention is taken off of the presence of God, all of the different ways that our attention is taken off of the presence of Jesus, and we wanted to put a nice little bow on it too. So that's the goal for the day, is to focus on the presence, put a nice bow on it, and let everyone get home without falling on the ice. So there's no better way to focus on the presence of Jesus, to focus on the meaning of this time of year, to focus on the reason for the season and all of those fun cliche phrases that we use, than to look at the Christmas story. And so I want to do that this morning. I want to just look in Matthew 1 quick and begin to read this. And maybe you've read this before. Maybe it's your job to read this every year when you go to grandma's house. But we want to just really quickly look at Matthew 1 and touch on the Christmas story and talk about all of the different things that can take our attention away from the presence of Jesus, all the different things that can distract us from the presence of Jesus. Distractions are nothing new. If you've got a Bible there, maybe you found one under your seat, there's one under your row, and you're looking for one, the Christmas story is on page 729, Matthew 1, so you'll find it there. How many people have already felt like they've been distracted this Christmas season, right? Okay, maybe you've got something. We've got some college people in the room. I love how like the most stressful time of your year is right before Christmas, right? And before graduation and before moving out. Like, finals could be some other way, but they're like, let's save it till the end and make them all cry and not sleep. So you guys have all had that all week. Other people are like cramming for this Christmas bonus or trying to hit sales goals or something. Teachers are just hanging on for dear life, trying to make it to the end. I've talked to people that are already super stressed about being around family, because let's be honest, we said today that we want to be family to each other, and some of you were like, I don't need any more family. I want some people that I like, right? That's what you're thinking. So some of us have to hang out with family. We just there's different things about the holidays and about Christmas that stress us out. Some people maybe realize they didn't budget for Christmas, and so they just put everything on a credit card and hope that they get a giant tax refund this year, right? And so you'll just kind of be riding that balance until April. There's all kinds of different things that take our attention away from the presence of Jesus, that take our attention away from the meaning of Christmas. And so as you read this morning, I want to just take a second to look at some of the distractions that exist in this story, some things that honestly, even back then, we're competing for attention. Distractions are nothing new. They existed a long time ago. And so let's read this together. This is Matthew chapter 1. We'll start in verse 18, and it says this. Now this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. All right, that's distraction number one, right? That sounds like a distraction. These people are married, she's still a virgin, they're engaged to be married, all of a sudden that she finds out she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit. We know because it says here, but can you imagine being in their situation and being like, wait, pregnant how? And okay, if you had to just walk around town and say, guys, it's okay, the Holy Spirit put a baby inside of me. It's no big deal. That sounds pretty normal, right? No, it doesn't. Distraction number one there, okay? Let's jump back in this. Verse 19, Joseph, her fiancé, being a just man, decided to break the engagement quietly so as not to disgrace her publicly. All right, distraction number two. Now we've got trouble in paradise, right? They're engaged, and he's thinking, hey, telling everyone that the Holy Spirit made you pregnant probably isn't going to sound like the best excuse in the world. So he's getting ready to break off their relationship, right? So she's got this problem of being pregnant and trying to explain that, and he's thinking, all right, I'm just going to cut my losses and get out of here. Distraction number two, he's embarrassed. All right, verse 20. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. All right, distraction number three. This guy's getting visited by angels. Did that happen to anyone this week? That can kind of freak you out, right? You're like, I don't know, an angel's never visited me and talked to me. I've got to be honest, it's never happened to me either. I'm assuming it's kind of awesome and freaky at the same time. And so he's distracted. He's thinking, all right, angels are talking to me now. What's going on with my life? Verse 24 says this. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife. But she remained a virgin until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. Let's jump on to chapter 2. Jesus was born in a town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About the same time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born, he asked them, referring to all of the different prophecy and things that the Old Testament said. There's going to be a Savior born. He's going to be born in this town by this name, this line, and this family. Verse 5 says this, in Bethlehem, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote, O Bethlehem of Judah, you are now just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you, who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel. Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come to see him. At this meeting, he learned the exact time when they first saw the star. Then he told them, go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. That's not actually what Herod wanted to do, though, right? Some of us know the story. Herod was thinking, if this guy's a king, if he's going to be a ruler, if he's going to take my attention, he's going to take some of my money, my power, I'm going to have to kill this new king, all right? And so we think we've got it bad because we have to do a gift exchange with our aunt that we don't really like, right? All right? That distraction existed then, too. Not everyone is going to like you or going to like you around the holidays, all right? So Jesus is very, very young and still has that problem. Herod is coming for him and wanting to hurt him. Verse 9 says this, after this interview, the wise men went on their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Verse 13, after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up and flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay here until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to try to kill the child. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. Herod was furious when he learned that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old and under, because the wise men had told him the star first appeared to them about 2 years earlier. Herod's brutal action fulfilled the prophecy of Jeremiah. A cry of anguish is heard in Ramah, weeping and mourning and unrestrained. Rachel weeps for her children, refusing to be comforted, for they are dead. That is the Christmas story. That is the arrival of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the process of people realizing who he is and worshiping him, the process of Herod realizing who he is and wanting to go after him, wanting to kill him. And those are all the different distractions that existed. You caught that one there at the end. Joseph had to up and move and change the path that his whole family was on and take a detour over to another country, over to another land, and move his infant son, right? So we know that all throughout this story, Jesus is being born. He's going to be the light of the world, the savior of the world. But things aren't great, right? Mary and Joseph had to go through embarrassment. Mary and Joseph had to go through a plan of this pregnancy that maybe they weren't able to explain to the world. They had to go through people wanting to kill their son. They had to go through moving to another country. And so there were distractions. These aren't the distractions that we have. But since Jesus came to this earth, since Jesus was born wanting us to know him, wanting to change the world, there have been distractions that were on the horizon, that were on the table. Things that were competing for our attention, things that were wanting to distract us from who he is and what he can mean to us. And so this morning, we want to just simply look at what does it mean that Jesus came to this world? We don't want to just say Jesus came to this world and he was a baby and he was the cutest baby ever. All right, that is part of the story, but there's a reason that he was different from any other baby that had ever come into this world, that had ever been born. There's a reason that he changed our lives. There's a reason that it's a big deal that we can get excited about Jesus being born in this world. There's a reason that we can be excited about his presence in this world. There's a reason that we can be excited about his presence in our lives. And so this morning, I want to simply do this. Just read some passages and look at who Jesus is, really who he is. Not just stop at, oh, he was born and he was a baby, that was great, but who he would become, what his character was even as a baby, and just look at some glimpses that Scripture gives us into him, into his character, into who he is, into what he means for us, and why his presence is a big deal. Because when we know the rest of the story, when we look at the full story, the full picture of God coming to this world in the form of a man, in the form of a baby and being born as Jesus, that is when we can see that it's a big deal. And so I want to just ask us to look at some passages today. We're going to kind of jump back and forth. I'll tell you the page numbers so no one gets lost. But the first passage I want to look at is Romans 1. All right, Romans 1. It is on page 865. Romans 1, verses 1 through 5, page 865. And this is going to just kind of, again, give us some of the backstory of who Jesus is, why he came to this world, why he was born, and why this is a big deal, why his presence is a game changer, and why we should get excited. So page 865, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, Paul is kind of telling this story and capturing everything in a nutshell here, and he says this to the church in Rome. He says, "This letter is from Paul, Jesus Christ's slave, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. This good news was promised long ago by God through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures." Right? So we've already talked about that. The fact that Jesus was going to come to this world to be born as a baby, to eventually grow into a man and die for our sins and save us. The good news of the gospel of that was promised in the Old Testament. All right? It was prophesied that that would happen later, and he was the fulfillment of that prophecy. Verse 3 says this, "It is the good news about his son, Jesus, who came as a man, born into King David's royal family line, and Jesus, our Lord, was shown to be the Son of God when God powerfully raised him from the dead by means of the Holy Spirit. Through Christ, God has given us the privilege and authority to tell Gentiles, to tell the world everywhere what God has done for them, so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name." All right, so yes, Jesus came in the form of a baby. Yes, he was born to a man. Yes, the Holy Spirit conceived him in Mary's womb. And yes, he was born, and that's what we want to remember and celebrate on Christmas. But that's not where that stops. Him coming to this world is a big deal because it was the fulfillment of prophecy long ago. And him coming to this world is a big deal because by his life and death and resurrection, he gave us life. He fulfilled the gospel and let us know the God that created us and let us live with him for eternity and have relationship with him. And because of that, we have the ability to tell the world that good news. That is what the presence of Jesus did for this world. That's what the presence of Jesus does in our lives. The presence of Jesus is a big deal because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises in Scripture. The presence of Jesus is a big deal because Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises in Scripture. Romans 1 teaches us that. Let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And is it on page 812? John chapter 1, page 812. This is an incredible chapter that just gives us a glimpse into who Jesus is. Truly a glimpse into who he is, what his character looks like, ways that he's revealed himself to us, and some of the names that he has. If you were here last week, we had a guest speaker, Dan, from CPR 3, and he quickly focused on that, talked about some of the names that Jesus has and some of the different ways that we can see him, that he can be God to us. This is kind of a follow-up to that and mentions that. So John chapter 1, verse 1 through 34, this is a lot, but I trust that reading this is more intelligent than anything that I can say, because Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active. Right? And so nothing that Mark says is living and active or really that intelligent, if we're being honest, right? So I want to read this passage because there's no better way that we can sum up who Jesus is, what his character is, and why his presence is a big deal than just reading what God's Word says about him. And so this is John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed, talking about Jesus. He was with God and he was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Life itself was in him, and this life gives light to everyone. The light shines through the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent John the Baptist to tell everyone about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was only a witness to the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was going to come into the world. But although the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him when he came. Even in his own land and among his own people, he was not accepted. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. This is not a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan. This rebirth comes from God. So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and he was seen, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one, of the only Son of the Father. John pointed him out to the people. He shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming who is far greater than I am,' for he existed long before I did. We have all benefited from the rich blessings he brought to us, one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but his only Son, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has told us about him." Verse 19 says this, "This was the testimony of John when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John whether he claimed to be the Messiah. He flatly denied it. 'I am not the Messiah,' he said. 'Well, then who are you?' they asked. 'Are you Elijah?' 'No,' he replied. 'Are you the prophet?' 'No.' 'Then who are you? Tell us so we can give an answer to those who sent us. What do you have to say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah, 'I am a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare a straight pathway for the Lord's coming.' Then those who were sent by the Pharisees asked him, 'If you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, what right do you have to baptize?' John told them, 'I baptize with water, but right here in this crowd is someone you do not know who will soon begin his ministry. I am not even worthy to be his slave.' This incident took place at the Bethany, a village east of the Jordan River, where John was baptizing. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one I was talking about when I said, soon a man is coming who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before I did. I didn't know he was the one, but I've been baptizing with water in order to point him out to Israel.' Then John said, 'I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, when you see the Holy Spirit descending and resting upon someone, he's the one you are looking for. He's the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the Son of God.'" So this isn't just someone who had a good story, someone who was famous. This isn't just someone who was a prophet. This is someone who was sent by God, who is one and the same as God, a part of the Trinity, a piece of the Trinity, and someone who came to redeem the world, someone who came to save the world, and someone who came to fulfill Scripture and prophecy and take away our sins, to give us relationship, to give us a bridge, to give us a link to God the Father. Why is his presence a big deal? Because the presence of Jesus changes everything. The presence of Jesus is the fulfillment of God's promises in Scripture. And the presence of Jesus is a big deal because of what he did for us. what we just read right there in John 1. I want to look at another passage that's in Hebrews chapter 1. It's on page 934. Page 934, Hebrews chapter 1, it's verses 1 through 14. And again, it's talking about who Jesus is, why his presence in this world is a big deal, why we can be excited, why we should celebrate, and why we can avoid distractions, why we can look to him at this time of year. It says, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he made the universe and everything in it. The Son," talking about Jesus, "reflects God's own glory, and everything about him represents God exactly. He sustains the universe by the mighty power of his command. After he died to cleanse us from the stain of sin, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God of heaven." Why is God's presence a big deal? Because he was sent by God. Because it says he reflects God's glory. Because he's sitting at the right hand of God. It says everything about Jesus represents God exactly. When we're looking at Jesus, we're looking at God. When we're seeing the glory of Jesus, we're seeing the glory of God. When we're feeling the presence of Jesus, we're feeling the presence of God. So Christmas isn't just celebrating some baby's birthday. We're celebrating the presence of God, the feeling of God coming to this world for us. Verse 4 says this, "This shows that God's Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is far greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus, 'You are my Son, today I have become your Father.' And again God said, 'I will be his Father and he will be my Son.' And then, when he presented his honored Son to the world, God said, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.' God calls his angels messengers swift as the wind and servants made of flaming fire. But to his Son he says, 'Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. Your royal power is expressed in righteousness. You love what is right and hate what is wrong. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else. And Lord, in the beginning you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands.'" These are not the things that are said about a normal baby, right? I mean, this is the time of year we're celebrating the birth of a baby. You guys have been to parties where you celebrate the birth of a baby, right? We've all been to like a 1 or 2 year old's birthday party. You don't know how it's going to go. You're sitting around, and they always want them to like grab the cake and perfectly smush it on their face, and it's going to be so cute and exciting. All right, that's how we celebrate the birth of a baby, right? Maybe there's some presents that they can't even open and their parents pretend they can and actually do all the opening themselves, and everybody's supposed to act like it's cute and get excited, right? That's the birth of a baby. I've been through 1 or 2 of those in the last couple years, you can tell, and I'm not a huge fan. But you act like they're cute and like they're a big deal, and they are because your kids are cute, but they can't even eat, they can't even open their own presents, and by the end of the party, they end up crying and having to go to another room and take a nap, right? That's what the birth of a baby is like, all right? The birth of Jesus is nothing like that. I don't even want to compare it to that. I didn't mean to joke about that, but this is different. This is God being sent to us. This is the presence of God being sent to us, being revealed to us. This is not, as it says, just another angel or just some wise prophet. There's a reason that they're making a distinction that this is God. Because the presence of Jesus in this world changes everything. The presence of Jesus in our lives changes everything. The presence of Jesus is a big deal because it's a fulfillment of Scripture. The presence of Jesus is a big deal because of what he came to this world to do for us. And the presence of Jesus is a big deal because of who he is. You've seen his character. You've seen him explained to be God. And so because of who he is, when he came to this world, he was fully God and fully man. And I'd be making a lot more money if I could explain that. I really can't, other than that the Bible tells us that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And so when he lived a perfect, sinless, flawless life, but was accused of wrongdoing and died on the cross, he wasn't dying because of anything he had done or because he had messed up or because he deserved it. He was dying because we have junk in our lives, because we have wrong stuff, because we have sin. And because he was both God and man, he was perfect. He was holy, and his life and his body and his character and his presence was a sacrifice that was able to pay our debt. And when he was raised from the dead 3 days later, he was able to defeat death, to defeat sin, to give us life, to give us a path, to give us a bridge to God the Father. That's why his presence is a big deal. Just one more passage that I want to look at, and it's in John chapter 14. John chapter 14 on page 827. Again, this is Jesus giving us a glimpse into who he is, into his character, into his mission in coming to this world. And he says this on page 827, John chapter 14, verse 1. "Don't be troubled. You trust God. Now trust in me. There are many rooms in my Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know that where I am going and how to get there." "No, we don't know, Lord," Thomas said. "We haven't any idea where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Verse 6, Jesus told him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had known who I am, then you would have known who my Father is. From now on, know him. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Jesus replied, "Philip, don't you even yet know who I am, even after all the time I have been with you? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking to see him? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because of what you have seen me do. The truth is, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with my Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, because the work of the Son brings glory to the Father. Yes, ask anything in my name, and I will do it." So the presence of Jesus in this world is a big deal. The presence of Jesus is the fulfillment of Scripture. The presence of Jesus is not just the birth of another baby, but he changed everything. The presence of Jesus is God coming to this world and revealing himself to us. The presence of Jesus is a big deal because of who Jesus is, because of what he did, and he kind of lays it all out there and tells us. He said, "If you know me, you know God. Through me and through knowing me, you can have a relationship with God." And he even lays it out very simply. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So there's a lot of things that we can be distracted by this time of year, and I like presents as much as anyone, and since Sarah asked people to buy her presents, I should probably say that too, right? I'll give you my list later if anybody wants it. We love this time of year, but we can't let things distract us from the presence of God, from the birth of Jesus being the presence of God in our lives and in this world. And we can't let things distract us from the fact that Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And by saying that, he's saying this in a roundabout way. When he's saying, "I am the way," he's looking at everything else, every other distraction, every other thing that we let bother us and take our attention. He's saying, none of those things are the way. He's a nicer guy, and so maybe you've never thought of it that way, right? It sounds really nice to say, "I am the way." But he's looking at all other religions, all other people, all other things that we make gods out of, and he's saying, none of those things are the way. And he's looking at all other things. When he says, "I am the truth," he's looking at all these other things that claim to be truth. Other religions, other small g gods, other books, all the things that we put value and stock in. And he's saying, none of those things are truth. I am truth. I am the way. I am the truth. And he's saying, I am life. Because all the other things that we get distracted by, all the other things that we have and know in this world lead to death and lead to nothing. They lead to unhappiness and emptiness and nothing. And so when Jesus, who is one and the same as God, reveals his character and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," we can trust that and believe that, and we can celebrate that. And that's why the presence of Jesus is a big deal. That's why we can get excited and not distracted by other things. That's why we can celebrate His presence this Christmas. Because it's a big deal. It's a game changer. It provides us way, truth, and life. We have eternal life. We know God the Father. And there's nothing better than knowing God the Father. My sons would tell you that change and go dinos or whatever their new thing that they want right now is a big deal. It's not a big deal. You grow out of that stuff, right? Someone in here would probably want a car. Eventually your car will rust out and die. Maybe even a new house. Maybe you want a hot tub, a new vacation, clothes. I don't know, whatever thing you're trying to be distracted by this Christmas. But none of those things are eternal. None of them are the character of God, and none of them are the presence of God. And that's what we can depend in and trust on this time of year. And I'd be kidding myself if I thought that everyone in here knew the presence of God or had experienced the presence of God or had seen the presence of God. The presence of God is available to us through the presence of Jesus. We're offered relationship with Jesus. We're offered to believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And by believing in that, by putting our trust in Him, by knowing Him, by putting our faith in Him, we have access and we have relationship to God the Father. We have access and relationship to the presence of God the Father. If you have never known the presence of God, if you've never had a relationship with Jesus, I would invite you to do that today. The Bible tells us that that's a simple decision to make. It's a decision based on faith. The Bible tells us that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord of your life, you believe in your heart. It says that we have to both make a mental decision, but also a decision that affects our actions moving forward, and that it's both of those things. It's not just talking about it. It's not just doing some nice things or helping a widow across the street. It's believing that and knowing that in your life and in your heart, speaking that, but also backing it up with your actions and changing your life, letting Jesus come into your heart and your life and change you. It's a simple decision to make, a simple, easy decision, but it's a big decision. Because the presence of Jesus and the presence of God is a big deal. And so giving your life to someone that's a big deal is a big deal. It's game-changing. It's life-changing. But if today, for the first time, you're seeing who Jesus is, you're seeing His character, you're seeing how He revealed Himself, you're seeing how He fulfilled Scripture, you're seeing how He came to this world and how He gave His life so that we could have life, and for the first time you're believing that and wanting to know Him, I would invite you to simply let the presence of Jesus be in your life. Let it change you. I would invite you to give your life to Him, to know Him, to trust Him, and to follow Him. The presence of Jesus changes everything, and it's all about the presence. Tell your parents that, but tell them it's the one that doesn't have a T, or they'll yell at you and think you're shallow, okay? Tell them it's all about the presence. We're going to have a chance to sing back to God, to celebrate His presence today. So I'm going to take a second. Let's pray together, and we will do that. God, thank You for being here with us today. Thank You that Scripture promises us that when we're gathered that You're here with us. Lord, thank You for Your word and for the truth that it is, Lord, for telling us Your plan, for pointing out Your plan, for showing us Your plan and showing us how You sent Your Son, why You sent Your Son, and why His presence is a big deal. God, we get distracted by many things this time of year. Lord, we put our attention and our focus and our worry and our worship toward a lot of things that are not worthy of our worship. God, help us to celebrate the presence of Your Son, to celebrate Him coming to this world. Lord, not just to be a baby, Lord, to grow into a man who is without fault and without sin, who would give His life for us, Lord, so that we could know You, so that we could be with You for eternity, so that we could have relationship with You. Lord, help us to celebrate that by the way that we interact with our family, the way that we interact with our bosses, the way that we interact with our friends, and Lord, help us to celebrate that with our lives. God, I pray that if there's someone here that hasn't done that, that they will have the courage to consider that, that they will just honestly think, Lord, what would it be like to have the presence of God in their life? What would it be like to have the peace and the presence of His Son in their heart? God, help us to be a church that's focused on that presence this year. We pray that people will see that presence in us. It's in Your name I pray. Amen. as we continue on, just one other thing I wanted to mention. We have a Christmas Eve service coming up, and we're doing that honestly because have you ever noticed that everybody loves to go to church at this time of year, right? Easter and Christmas. I think there's a time that America kind of stands still and people say, hey, this holiday is about something. I'm going to go to church. I did that when I was little, or I want to remember that. I want to celebrate that. And so we're doing a Christmas Eve service because we want to capitalize. And I don't mean that in a selfish way, but if people want to be focused on the presence of Jesus, on the change that he can make in their lives, we want to shout that from the rooftops. We want to say, hey, Hilliard, here's a place where you can come and learn about Jesus. Hey, Western Columbus, here's a place where we can show you what the presence of Jesus will look like in your life. And so on your way out today, our ushers are going to be at the doors. They're going to have just some cards that we've got. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I want you to invite every person you know with a pulse, okay? If they say to you, I'm going to my grandma's house or I go to another church, cool, that's fine. They don't have to come. But we don't want a lack of an invite to be a reason that someone doesn't know the truth of God's word, or the reason that someone doesn't know the presence of Jesus in this world and in their life this Christmas and this holiday season. And so take those cards. We've got them banded into stacks of 10. Invite your neighbors. Invite the people that live in the apartment next to you. Invite your friends. Invite your family. This is a time of year that people will say, sure, I'd love to go to church because that's what Christmas is about, right? And so we want to be a church that exists so that people can find their way back to God, so that they can see his presence. And so maybe you're aware of the presence of Jesus this year. Maybe for the first time you're coming around to that. We want to be a movement that is intentional, that is contagious, and that spreads. We want to share the love of Jesus, as Romans said. That's why Jesus came, so that we could know his love and spread his love. And so we want to do that with the opportunities we've got in front of us. So grab some of those cards on the way out and just consider it a way that we can celebrate the presence of Jesus in this world.